You know, this morning, I want to start with a little story that'll lead into our sermon today. And I'm trying to think, and I wish the West family was here because they have scouts in their family. And I can't remember. I know it was somewhere between my second grade and my sixth grade that I went and I became a Cub Scout. I wanted to be a Cub Scout. Now, I never made it to Boy Scout or any of that kind of stuff, but I wanted to be a Cub Scout because that was the thing that a lot of the boys in the school that I was attending wanted to do after school, be a Cub Scout. And man, the first time I went to the Cub Scout, the den mother, you know, she had all this artsy, craftsy stuff out, and that's when we used to be able to take pieces of macaroni, spray paint it gold, put a string through it, you know, take it home to mom. Look what I did for you today. Look what I got for you today. And then at Christmas time, it was the traditional cranberries and popcorn, you know, stringing it on string. And that was all done at the Cub Scouts. And then we got to the point, and I really like this, the Pinewood Derby. If anybody's even heard about the Pinewood Derby, that's where they give you a block of wood and you do the arts and crafts and get that baby looking like an Indy racer and stuff like that. And you go to the races and along with other dens that are in the area and stuff like that. That Cub Scout thing was really great, but I only lasted a couple of years because I had other interests or whatever. But anyway, one thing I can always remember when we were at the den mother's house, you always talked and you said the Cub Scout code. And if memory serves me correctly, it went something like this. It says, on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the scout law. And that leads me into the title of today's sermon, Doing Our Duty. You know, there are many denominations in this world today that they struggle with the concept of obeying God. And most of them claim that all that is needed is have faith and God will do the rest. All we have to do is have the faith and God will take care of everything else. And there's some of them that even faith is an action on man's part, and so they claim that faith comes from God, or does faith come from man? They're unsure on that. You know, they've done a poll, and I didn't write down the poll company that did the findings and stuff, but they asked people this question. If it was true that God helps those who help themselves, God helps those who help themselves. And the majority of those people agreed. But the question I have for all of us this morning is why, if man is able to determine his destiny, then God has no role in our salvation. If we are able to determine our destiny, then God has no role in our salvation. He, I'm talking about God, is merely man's assistant. And I can't agree with that. You know, this morning I believe that we can clarify the situation, and we're going to look at some unprofitable servants that are mentioned in the Bible this morning. And I'm hoping everybody got the handout that Ann had the scriptures on it. Because the first one we're going to look at is a disobedient servant is unprofitable. And we're going to study these servants. But the first one we're going to look at is the disobedient servant is unprofitable. Because even in this day and age, some people talk like they are good servants, but they surely don't act the part. Let's turn to Titus. This will be the first scripture reading this morning. Titus, this will be chapter 1 and verse number 16. Titus 1 and verse 16, it says, I'm checking and making sure I got the right. Yes, we do. Okay. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. That doesn't sound right. Excuse me just for a second here. Is that what yours? Okay. That is. Oh, okay. Helps when you go to the next page. Sorry about that. Okay. They profess to know God. This is better. They profess to know God, but by their deeds, they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. That sounds better. Because, like it says, a disobedient servant is unprofitable. How about turning to Matthew 21 this time? Beginning at verse number 28. Now, we've all heard this story before because this is the parable of the two sons. But we're going to read from 28 to 31. And I want you to notice that action counts and not simply claims. It reads in verse number 28, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in the vineyard.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, he regretted it, and he went. The man came to the second and said the very same thing. And he answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, 'The first.' Jesus said to them, 'Truly I say to you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you.'" Action counts and not simply the claims. Because, folks, if we don't keep the Lord's commandments, we are liars. And I'm not just standing up here and telling you that. It says that in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 4. It reads, "The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Definitely I've heard that before. So that is a little bit about a disobedient servant being unprofitable. Let's go on and check the other type of a servant that's mentioned in the Bible, and that is a servant who does nothing is unprofitable. You know, in the parable of the talents. Now, I didn't mark this, but I believe that is Matthew 25, beginning at verse number 14, when you talk about the talents. But this is where the master is leaving town for a period of time. And he gives three servants a varied amount of funds. The amount that they receive in accordance with the servant's ability. And the first two were able to achieve profits with their Lord's money. But the last doesn't even try to invest the money. He hides it and returns it to the Lord on his return. And here is the response to that in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, beginning at verse number 26. Beginning at verse number 26, it reads, "But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him, and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away." That is the response that they gave. But a question here did the actions of these servants affect their rewards when their Lord returned? Well, of course it did. It affected them. But a servant who will not serve is worthless to the master. Okay, we've talked about the disobedient servant is unprofitable. A servant who does nothing is also unprofitable. Let's turn the corner now and let's talk about a faithful servant who does his duty. Let's go back to the 24th chapter of Matthew. Beginning at verse number 45. Matthew 24, beginning at verse number 45. It reads, "Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions." You know, we all know here that we have to work for our salvation. We have to work towards that. It's not just given to us. We have to work towards that. And what does it say in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12 about this? Philippians 2 and verse number 12, it reads, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." You know, the servant that was in our scripture reading this morning, that once again is from Luke 17. I want to read part of that again. It would be Luke 17, beginning at verse number 7. Let's start there. And this is talking about the servant here. In verse number 7, it starts out and it reads, "Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come immediately and sit down to eat'? But will he not say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink'? He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded to you, saying, 'We are unworthy slaves, we have done only that which we ought to have done.'" You know, the servant that we're talking about here, he did his duty. It was expected of him that he did do that duty. Yet the servant, not the master, viewed himself as unprofitable for merely doing what was expected of him. You know, there's some people in this world today that the problem is that those people think they only owe God faith. That's all they have to do. And God will provide the rest. Because they act as if anything beyond faith, anything that they have to do beyond faith, is what they call above and beyond the call of duty. You know, the disciples had a rough time with the concept of having to forgive someone who wronged them multiple times in a day. 7 times 7. You know the scriptures there. Because they asked Jesus to increase their faith so they could do that. Forgive them. But Jesus' answer was that it was their duty. "I'm not going to increase your faith. That is your duty. When someone comes to you, forgive them. They wrong you multiple times in a day. Forgive them." But their problem was, in their own view, their worthiness. Let's go to Luke chapter 9 Let's see what it says there. We're going to go to Luke 9. And we're going to read verse number 46. And here they're arguing back and forth about the test of greatness. In Luke 9:46, it says, an argument started among them as to which of them might be the greatest. And then, still staying in the book of Luke, let's go over to Luke 22 and verse 24. And it talks about who is the greatest here also. And it reads here in verse 24, and there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. Because they saw themselves as great, they thought giving forgiveness multiple times was going beyond the call of duty. If they saw themselves as merely doing the expected, they would not have had a hard time forgiving others. That is expected of me. I shouldn't have to think it. I'm going above and beyond the duty to forgive this person 5, 6, 7 times a day. Their exaggerated view of themselves was a weakness in their faith. It demonstrated in their reluctance to do as God asked of them. You know, we have to notice that the faithful servant doesn't expect the master to serve him, even when the servant has been working hard all day long. Once again, going to Luke 17 and verse 7. We've already read this, but it says here in verse 7, which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will come to him when he has come in from the field? Come immediately and sit down to eat. You know, there are some things, and I've noticed this since I've retired, but we all work at our jobs, as our Lord commanded. But at the end of the day or the end of the week, there are some people, and maybe they don't even wait till the end of the week or the end of the day, their thoughts turn to themselves. Do you mean I have to work in order to get this paycheck? And I think it's getting worse. I mean, I've seen it where people have just, not everybody, you know, but there are some people out there that think that, you know, I should automatically get this paycheck just for showing up with my face, you know, through the door or whatever. But we work at our jobs like the Lord commanded us. But at the end of the day, like I said, they want to know, okay, it's my time now. And once again, so many are upset at making time to go and worship the Lord each and every Sunday or spending a few hours in study of God's Word. They say, oh man, I worked myself into the dirt. You know, I spent long hours working. When do I get time for myself? But a question, what does our master think of that service? I've worked so hard today. I've worked so hard this week. I'm just going to skip services. I don't want to do it. You know, I'm tired, whatever. What does the master think of that? Because it goes on and it says, while masters on earth do not thank their servants for merely doing what is expected of them, our master has promised a rich reward to his faithful servants. Seems like I remember hearing some sermons about that. He has promised you, good and faithful servant, reward in heaven. Because folks, we can never say that we are owed this reward, because we were merely doing what is expected, and often we perform poorly at our duties. Some of us do in this world today. And we cannot say that obeying God is something extra that we do for Him. But what we can say is, Lord, I pray that I have been a good and faithful servant to you. and that I can join you in my eternal home in heaven with you one day. That's one of my shorter sermons today. But I hope you take some of the ideas that we've talked about here this morning and be that good and faithful servant. You know, if there are any of those present today that are not a Christian, would like to become one, everything is ready. We have to do the commandments, though. We have to follow the Lord's words. We need to hear Jesus. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. We need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. And about those sins, we need to repent of those sins. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We also need to confess Jesus. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We need to be baptized, fully immersed in water. Because he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And I always say, and I always will continue to say it, and to be faithful always. Be that good and faithful servant. Because like I've said before in other sermons, faith is not believing that God can, it's knowing that God will. So, if there are anybody in the audience today who would like to be baptized or are in need of the prayers of the saints, we ask that you come forward singing the song of invitation.